evening.
Good evening. I think I'm the only one.
Okay.
So far.
You were listening to music?
Yeah. I didn't hear a click either, you know, of anybody coming in.
Right. Well, if you had... I don't know, does the music go off when you hear the click or not?
No, it continues. And you hear the person who comes on. If they don't identify themselves, you do hear a click. If they identify themselves, well, then it'll say, hello, Joey, you know, and they say their name.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that's what they're requested to do. Thank you for that mezuzah astrology. The whole article is quite different, quite interesting.
Well, I didn't get to reread it. I just glanced at the first few pages because that was one of my sources. I went and got my photo because I remembered that the mezuzah was chapter 5 in that book. And so I went to my filing cabinet and found it. So it was kind of confusing in one way with the letters of Aleph Bet, because they called, they spelled, I know they meant cough, but they spelled it as cove, you know how that goes. So it kind of looked, you know, made you think it was a coof instead of a cough. But anyway, and I had forgotten the term cryptogram. And but I'm really wanting to read the whole article because that's been quite a few years ago, and so I want to see what the rest of the article, what it means to me. I noticed there was a caption about Purim, and it'll be interesting. I just didn't have time.
It is quite interesting.
Okay. And it was from Chabad, I noticed. I was thinking I had found a book in the synagogue, what we call the resource room. I had forgotten it was that particular article. And I think it was like 44 pages, too. So I said, oh, my.
That article was 44 pages? I didn't think it was that long.
I'm almost sure. I had two copies of it. And with one, I had 44 or 43 written in parentheses. And the other one, I didn't have a number on it. But they appeared to be the same. So I didn't read that thoroughly. I just was looking for those first few pages. But, you know, I figured either you could always delete. You know how that is.
I do.
When you don't teach a weekly class, you really forget a lot that you taught. I'm seeing that. You know, it keeps you abreast of everything. Got to be on your toes for those little inquisitive students.
Well, the students are beginning to ask a few more questions. So it's nice to see that, too.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting fairly regular attendance for the morning classes.
Yes. I noticed that we had a bunch this morning.
I'm sorry?
I said there was a bunch this morning.
There was.
Mm-hmm.
We seem to get it in the morning and in the evening. And we get a few regulars usually for this class. And the weekday class is intermittent.
Okay.
Has joined.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So we are beginning the Zohar Sulam commentary. We are in section 26, Parashas Vayera. We're starting with verse 368, after L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud kutcha b'rithu ishkin te bidkilu urchimu utkilu utkilu urchimu le'akda l'shem yudhe bovavhe v'yichud ha'shelim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah la'asok Torah mitzvah Vayhino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kodanei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kodaneihu. V'ha'satan omed al yamino l'sitno da yetzer hara deihu meshotet v'yazel bi'alma V'nat la nishmatin u'apaka ruchin u'mayiste lon livriata le'ela v'tata v'dahu v'shata datel le'yamnu v'ukad netzer v'sha'im inun nevi'ei ha'sheker v'hai hawa maskin le'ela begin di'ito dakad imchon. The phrase, and the Satan standing at the right to prosecute him, refers to the evil inclination which roams the world, snatching souls and taking spirits from human beings by bringing accusations against humankind, above as well as below. This occurred when Nebuchadnezzar cast Joshua, the high priest, into the fire, together with all the false prophets. At that time, the Satan brought accusation against him above, so that he would be burned with them. The pasuk is clear with Rabbi Ashlag's comment. What is the difference between Satan and the evil inclination? Why do they have different words, different names? The evil inclination is inside the unconsciousness of a human being. Satan is the word, name that acts externally to the human being. There is a connection between the two names that is expressed in Pasuk 368. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I remember the Torah about Joshua, but I didn't remember that he had been wanted to be, you know, that they wanted to throw him into the fire. I didn't remember that.
I think in 367 it gives us a source verse so we could go back and read it. I don't remember where it is exactly either.
Okay, it looks like Zechariah 3:1. I see it now. Okay. Well, it goes along with the righteous and the unrighteous that Satan can come against you.
That's his job.
Mm-hmm. I think that's why the mezuzah, and knowing what we found out the other day about your feet, even if that's the lower level and may not be the, you know, a different code word for that particular verse, but in another frame of reference, you know, you touch the mezuzah and then your foot goes forth wherever you're going. And I think it does help, especially when you have a period of like COVID right now that's all over everywhere. Which to me, I have like pictures just ready to grasp, you know, anyone and everyone in its path.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Okay, my question is, if that's his job, how do we put him out of business?
You defeat him.
How do you defeat him?
By not accepting his advice.
Okay. Thank you.
And you build yourself up with exercises like what we do every day in class with Torah and Zohar study and 42 name and 72 name and bedtime Shema. And gosh, just go on and on for all the twos we have to build ourselves up.
And the Tikkun HaTzot.
Yes.
I just opened up the Zechariah chapter 3. So I think it might be worthwhile to read a few more of the verses. So I'm just going to read the English.
Okay.
And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of Hashem, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. And Hashem said unto Satan, Hashem rebukes thee, Satan. Yes, the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebukes thee. Is not this man a brand plucked out of the fire? So that's the relate. That's the
right. Point. Okay, one little phrase. Okay.
And now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel.
I remember that.
Right, and the filthy garments, we'll find out, is his family in Babylonia. And he answered and spoke unto those that stood before him, saying, take the filthy garments off from off him, and unto him he said, behold, I cause thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with robes. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head, and clothed him with garments, and the angel of Hashem stood by. And the angel of Hashem forewarned Joshua, saying, thus says Hashem of hosts, if thou will walk in my ways, and if thou will keep my charge, and will also judge my house, and will also keep my courts, then I will give thee free access among these that stand by. Verse 8. Hear now, Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men that are assigned. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the shoot. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone are seven facets. Behold, I will engrave the engraving thereof, says the Lord of hosts. And I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. A lot of code words that are not real clear in English, for sure.
wasn't a cold put to his tongue?
I vaguely remember that, but it's not in this chapter.
Okay.
Do you know who
the angel of the Lord is? Or the angel
has
of
joined.
Would it have been Memtet?
No.
No.
If you remember, we read a verse, I don't know if it was 367 or 366 in the other previous section. But it said that the angel of the Lord is the righteous, the community of the tzaddikim are the angel of the Lord.
Right.
Now I've seen elsewhere where the angel of the Lord is identified as Memtet.
Okay.
So now we have to be, you know, more careful about understanding what is the angel of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let's go to 369. Dehakehu orcho delavihu mekatrad. Ela bezimna de sakana uzimna de tsara sharya bealma de itlea. Rishu lemiste umebad dina afilu biladina kedavaracher veyesh niskapa belo mishpat mahu asit no dahawa amero kulhu yishtez tezvun. Okuhu yitok dun deha bash bashata beit yehevi dehit yehev reshuta lim chabela vele chabala la ishtezev zaka'a min chayavaya. This is the way of the Satan, who shows his indictment at the hour of danger, or when the world is in distress. At those times he is allowed to prosecute and punish, even without justice, as it is written. But sometimes ruin comes for want of judgment. What is meant by to prosecute him? In other words, what did he accuse him of? He was asking that they all be saved or all be burned. When the angel of destruction is granted permission to destroy, the righteous are in as much danger as the wicked. My commentary. This pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. The practical application in a time of chaos, do not separate yourself from the community. This will help to keep you safe. The operative word is safe, not protected. Remember, you are always considered part of a generation. If there is a calamitous event, it always relates to the generation. Learn this well and remember it often. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I was surprised by the statement where he was asking that they all be saved or all be burned. I would have thought he would have wanted just all of them to be burned.
Well, remember, he's taking the man's name is Joshua. He's saying, take Joshua, who is a righteous, and put him in with the wicked. So the wicked are essentially have been condemned to burn, but the wicked are the minions of Satan. So he wants to save them, and he's trying to manipulate the system by putting Joshua in with the same group. So he really wants to save the wicked, but he has no justification for saving them. But with Joshua as part of the group, he's saying, I do have justification to save them. But if I lose that argument, then all of them should be burned, not just the wicked. And then the verse is telling us that Hashem rebukes Satan. He says, no, you can't get away with that trick. Is it a little clearer now?
Yes. Very much so. And it was real evident when you read Zechariah that he was being dressed in the priestly garments with the mitre and the clothes.
Joshua is a high priest. He's a Kohen, and he is a high priest of the nation.
But it sounds like at the beginning of the story that he's in regular clothes, you know, because
he's not in regular clothes. He's in filthy garments.
Yeah.
And later we will find out that the filthy garments, as I said, because I remember that part of the story, the filthy garments represent the Jews in Babylonia who have intermarried. And in order to be allowed to come back into Israel, they have to leave those non-Jewish children and wives behind.
Well, I think Ezra, in the book of Ezra, we learn that too.
Well, Zechariah is very clear, I think, is the book before Ezra, right?
Oh, I'm not sure. I never did learn that little trick to memorize all the books of the Bible.
Yeah, Zechariah is the one of the final prophets, whereas Ezra and Nehemiah are sometimes considered prophets and sometimes considered writings. We are out of time. Randy, any more questions?
No more questions.
All right. So we will have a regular bar class this evening.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.